Yeah, go
on. You can explain that one, Phil.
We said John Stead, not John Steed.
Yes, Phil. Games I have to play for this young man. Right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the stagnant pool of delight that is this week's Naked Football Show. Tonight we'll look back at Watford, we'll talk all things transfer, and with no game on Saturday we'll take a look at our neighbours down the road, Ipswich Wanderers. And to help us in this cause, we have no other than our first guest, Nick Cabay.
Hi, how you doing?
Nick is joined by the hard-talking, hard-drinking Mr. Ray Slegg.
Bonjour.
And hard-talking, come on.
Yes, and making up our trio, and he probably will be tonight, judging by the steam going off him.
Sleeves have already been rolled up.
And making up our trio tonight is the man with his finger on the pulse and in all the football pies, Mr. Phil Ham.
Oh, me? I'm looking like someone else there.
Ham pies.
So let us know what you think by emailing studio@icrfm.co.uk or by texting 07973 851 968, and remember, throughout the week you can have a moan on nakedfooty@icrfm.co.uk. Ray, you seem as though you're steaming. You better start on Watford.
Well, I just got a column from the Telegraph on Monday from a superb journalist called David Miller, who I think most pundits will know. He was at the match. I'll just sum up two statements he made about the match, which I think are quite appropriate. Underperforming Ipswich, who temporarily at least have plunged from playoff frustration into formless disarray. And the second one, which I think is absolutely wonderful, and really I should have really had it for myself, but I daren't because I'm not like that. As last week against Wolves, Ipswich chased butterflies without a net. So that was a wonderful phrase. Sum it all up, disappointed, very unhappy really, another goalkeeping error, one of several this season, and we should have had 3 points at half time, came away with none. Not very good.
So what was wrong then? Come on, I mean, that's the, you know, first half, it was a good enough performance, I thought. We probably deserved to be ahead at half time. What do you think went wrong from there then?
Well, we didn't get the second goal, which we could have done.
Clearly. I mean, I thought it was very similar to the Preston game in that there was a key moment in both of those games.
The least being pass that should have been across the goal.
And we let it drift from there. Now, you know, why do you think we let it drift, and why do you think Watford came into the game so much more strongly in the second half?
Well, they only came into the game because we allowed them. You must look at it that way. And two very, very poor defensive goals. A free header from a corner and another goalkeeping nightmare.
I'm not convinced that was a good goalkeeping error particularly, I have to say. I mean, I know Richard Wright has had three shots that he's dropped in that sense, or has parried. But that one was probably the hardest of the lot, I would say. It was difficult to hold on to. But all three of those incidents, the person who's been onto the ball first each time has been an opposition player rather than a town defender, which I think, you know, it says a lot about the kind of sharpness at the back this season, which in those incidents it's always been an opposition striker who's been on there first of all rather than a defender. But overall, I mean, I don't think necessarily the defence and the goalkeeper were necessarily the problem. The midfield and the complete lack of being able to keep the ball, I thought, was the big problem against Watford in the second half.
Well, plus he took our two strikers off, and he brought... And again, Jordan Rose doesn't rock my boat at the moment, I'm afraid. He came on and fell over straight away, and he took our best two strikers off. I don't know whether they're both unfit or couldn't manage the 90 minutes, but leave one of them on at least to try and hold the ball up. Give Watford, because the last 20 minutes Watford had nothing to worry about. They just bothered trying to get the equaliser, which they duly did.
Yeah, but I would probably say I wasn't expecting the strikers to be taken off in that way, but the ball wasn't staying up with Pablo and Lisby on, so Jim's thinking presumably was to put someone else on and move Walters sort of into a more central position in order to hold the ball up and bring the midfield, which, you know, wasn't, as far as I could see, getting anywhere near the right areas of the field when we're town were attacking, but to bring them into play. Now, you can sort of see that, but I mean, what I would have picked out as the kind of thing was Campo looked extremely tired after about 55 minutes, and I would have kind of looked at changing the midfield more and putting someone like Shumi, presumably as the sort of holding midfielder, and getting a bit more running in the midfield, don't you?
Well, maybe so, but whatever having been said, it was two very bad, I think two very bad defensive goals. This league is very hard. It's a tough league this year, and you can't afford to make basic errors. And to me, they were basic errors. Whichever you want to cut it about, midfield, couldn't hold the ball, attack, they were just bad defensive goals. And we hadn't given them away, we'd have won 1-0, which would have been enough, 3 points. But we're now about eight places below Doncaster in the table, which is a very salutary...
I mean, that happens at this time of the year, doesn't it?
But three defeats out of four, you must confess to me, I am worried.
Oh, I mean, it's a poor start without any question, but I think, you know, I don't think anyone should be, A, worried about relegation, as sort of people are suggesting, or B, suggesting that our playoff or our promotion chances are kind of being scuppered by a poor first month of the season.
Well, they're not helped.
They're not helped, no.
They're playing catch-up already.
But you know what this division is like. That, I mean, 1 year Millwall were top at Christmas and got relegated, and Palace were,
Cardiff were top by many points, and Watford were top by a lot of points, I know. But I didn't expect to have 3 points from the first four games.
No, I don't think any of us did.
Disappointment.
So what do you think the answer is then?
The answer, well, I mean, I think the situation to some extent, and Ray may or not disagree, and Graham can put his four penneth in as well, I'm sure, because he's watched most of the games along with the rest of us, haven't you?
So exciting, I'm allowed to speak.
I know, well, you know, bringing you in, you know. It's just, the major thing is that the first month of the season has become like an additional period of pre-season, because you've had players coming in who haven't played any part in pre-season, or very little part, either because they weren't at the club, or they weren't considered part of the first 11. I mean, Liam Trotter, who now you would probably say is going to be in the first 11 for the next game, how much did he get during pre-season other than a few minutes at the end of each game? Not very much, I would say. And yet, he's kind of come into the side within the first couple of weeks of the season as almost a kind of first choice. And, you know, I people always talk about knowing the first 11, and we have got a large squad. I don't think the manager knows the first 11, and I think that what he considered might be his first 11 at the beginning of the season is now very different than what he would consider the first 11 now. In that, I think Campo is probably, once he's fit, seen as the holding midfield player. But if you're going to play a 4-4-2, I don't see where half the other midfield players that they've bought between January and the summer, where they fit in, because I don't think you can play Garvin alongside Campo. I don't think you can play Shumilakowski alongside Campo as central midfield pairing. Everyone on the message board has pointed to over the last week, we still haven't got a left-sided midfielder, and we're filling players in there, Trotter being the one who's kind of there a lot of the time at the moment, and then you've got Haynes and Walters being kind of fitted into positions that aren't really their kind of ideal areas. So, I mean, that's kind of my essential take on where we are at the moment, and going forward, whether Jim keeps his job beyond end of October, beginning of November, or whatever the kind of suggested limit might be, depends on whether the team that he's put together basically throughout August gels. I don't know what you three think of that.
Well, this quote from David Miller, who knows his football, formless disarray. I hate to see that.
Yeah, I know, but journalists can watch a team once and they can decide.
Yeah, but he knows his stuff, and you saw the Wolves game at home. That was another 90 minutes of formless disarray.
We didn't play particularly well in either game, but you know, rather than just saying it was rubbish, which essentially that comment is it doesn't say any more than
it's rubbish.
That.
There was some,
no, I think it's more important or more intelligent really to try and find a reason for why there is formless disarray, rather than just say they weren't very good, which is essentially what that says.
He has to comment on what he sees. He doesn't see it every game.
Yeah, but it's not it's a comment on what he sees, but it's not really trying to look for a reason why, is it?
Well, if you read the rest of the article, which I can't read out, it's not too scathing on the club, actually, if you read them. But I thought those two comments were quite...
Yeah, I mean, I think there were large amounts of posts on the message board that were somewhat stronger than formless disarray, that also began with F, I think. Mm. But, but at the end of the day, you know, we watch the club week in, week out. We need to sort of, you know, what is going wrong at our club? Is it the fact, is it the manager?
Well, he's got, let's face it, it's almost like the George Burley scenario. He's got money, he's be buying everybody that moves that he can afford. We're rumoured with everybody that's available and who doesn't come. A lot of them don't come, but we did get. I like Volz. I think Volz will be a good addition. Mm. I haven't written Stead off. I think Stead is a good young player who's had a bad couple of years for whatever reason where he's been. I haven't written him off at all. And I think Campo's going to be good when he gets fit. But we are, as you say, we haven't got the first 11 picks. We don't know what we're doing quite. It looks a bit like of a shambles. We'll have 29 professionals on the board by next week with two more players coming, apparently. I mean, it does appear to be a complete shambles. So I can describe it.
Right, shall I read?
Yeah,
we seem to have had a busload of emails all coming at once. This was sent on the Naked Emails site during the week from James Cummins. So this is all on the same sort of drift, really. I'm writing this before the Watford game, so hopefully all will be well and good.
Well, thanks God for that, then.
Sorry, James. By the time the next show airs. Similar point again, I'm afraid, to my last email about Magilton turning into Benitez and Ranieri, but the facts speak for themselves. Assuming Campo, Volz and maybe Norris play some part at Watford, we'll have used 21 different players in our 5 league games this season. That's 18 at the time of writing. Do the panel think that Super Jim is maybe making too many changes and that he himself doesn't even know what his best starting 11 is?
Well, I think we've established that. He may have done it. I wonder whether at the moment he thinks that the first choice midfield is essentially built around Campo and Norris when Norris gets fit. Because Norris is the running midfielder, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? That is he's up and down, up and down, up and down.
Who's that?
David Norris.
Oh, that one.
He's forgotten about it. Forgot he existed, didn't you? Another one from Graham from Dovercourt. You've got congratulations on your excellent name, Graham. Magic did really...
And for living in Dovercourt.
Yeah, and for living in Dovercourt. Magic did really well when we had no money at all. Now he's had a bit of cash, it seems that he's doing a Burley. Is money the root of all evil? I can tell you it's religion, not money, but... Yeah, anyone want to comment on that one?
Well, Karl Marx would say.
See, he does seem to have... Yeah, Burley did something similar, didn't he?
I don't know. Is it too early to kind of write Jim off as kind of someone who's kind of, as soon as he's got money, as misspent it? I mean, George obviously misspent it in as much as he brought in Fanidi George and Matteo Serrani. Not just the fact that they're individual players who are on vast amounts of money, but for the fact that it upset the balance of the dressing room.
Yeah.
Now, Jim is trying to take things forward. I don't know whether it's upsetting the balance of the dressing room now, because the dressing room... is now virtually different, completely different than
it was
big
enough
years
now,
ago. Well, that's true. We need an additional dressing room, don't we, for the players? I mean, I think it's too early to say whether he's squandered cash, which is essentially the question, isn't it?
The next month will tell, really.
Let's put it another way round, Philip.
Yeah.
Would you have expected a better return than what we've now got, given the fact you have the summer... and he had the money available.
Would you
have expected a better return?
Return in what sense?
Points.
Points
on the board.
Yeah, probably. I'd have hoped for it. I'd have hoped for it, certainly. But in terms of players and squad assembled, if you look at the kind of raw makeup of the squad, I don't think you can look at it in terms of as a bad squad per se. Now, it's a case of whether that squad now comes together as a team or there is a team to come from that squad. I think, you know, you can look at the players that have come in, you can think, Moritz Volz, you say, I think he's a good right back, do well at this level, I thought he looked good against Watford. Richard Wright, for whether he's made mistakes and stuff, I think he's had some really good games for us this season, and in pre-season. West Brom certainly is a pre-season game. I think we'd have lost about 4-0 but for him.
I agree with that.
And various other matches, I think he's played well.
Burnley
as well.
But anyway,
it takes players and defences time to settle, so, you know, willing to give him time. Good goalkeeper, essentially. Gareth McCauley did well last season, you have to say, with Leicester, even though they got relegated, because their defensive record was about the second best in the division. Northern Irish International can't be all bad, but there again, looks like he's having a bit of trouble settling. Now, you know, you can go through all the players. Ben Thatcher played very well at very high level, 33 or whatever he is, but, you know, 33 is not ridiculously old, it has to be said. So, going forward, Campo, player, only 34, which, you know, he's not going to lose a lot of pace because he never had any anyway. Mm. So you look at him, you know, he's got it there to be a decent enough player. Going forward, Kevin Lisby, 17 goals last season with a relegated side, not bad again. So you think, well, you know, the makeup is there. As you say about John Stead, a player who kind of made a big impact at a young age, but perhaps lost his way a bit at Blackburn,
Sunderland.
And then, well, Sunderland, but to be fair, when he was at Sunderland, everybody lost their way at Sunderland under Mick McCarthy's management, didn't they? So you have to look at the raw materials that are there from which to build a team, and I think it's there, really. But it's a case of whether it comes together before Mr. Evans goes...
And here's the thing, we play in the archetypal league where, aside from maybe one or two teams, anybody can beat anybody.
Well, that is it.
So it's all up for grabs. We've had a bad first month, yeah, but it's August, we're into September now. If they can push on, it was good to see them get an away win on the board so early in the first game.
It counts double. Double away wins for Ipswich.
So, yeah, as Phil just pointed out, that the ingredients are there. It's Jim's job now to get everyone to gel. And, yes, I certainly agree with the rest of the panel in that he needs to start picking a regular first 11.
To be fair, I don't think he's made that many changes in the last couple of games. Has he? I can't, with the team that played against Wolves, was it hugely different against Watford? I can't really... wasn't massive changes, were there?
I'm losing track of who's playing. Did Ted Phillips play?
Yes. That'll probably be the problem. go through these things before we...
Right, these are just sort of one-liners. Slug for PM, Big Fat Sam's Barmy Army, is Campo the same as Compo, Danny Haynes is rubbish, he needs to sort out his ball retention skills, what's the deal with McCauley, he's awful, this is great, isn't it? right, here's one from Steve from Sweden, this is our man Steve, who we had in a couple of weeks ago. Hello Steve. Would we have won at Watford with JS up front? Who's JS? I can't even think of JS. It is.
John Stead.
John Stead, yeah.
Jamie Scowcroft. Oh, yeah, John Stead.
John Stead.
well, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's impossible to say, isn't it? I mean, I like John Stead as a player, don't you? I think he is the new James Scowcroft, incidentally. Would you compare him with him?
I think he might be better if he's given the right service and treated, right? I think he's got a lot of good qualities.
Though.
I mean, I try not to sound too negative, but I think Stead has got lots of possibilities. Campo will get fitter and stronger, and I think Norris, God help us, might even play a game before Christmas. You never know.
Well, he played 90 minutes last night before last.
So if he comes back and produces what we think he can do, which he hasn't yet, that's got to be a plus.
Mm.
Garvin was ill last week apparently with a stomach bug.
Mm.
He's going to come back and he's signed his 3-year deal.
Mm.
So there are pluses to take and there are things to build on, but it doesn't hide a worrying start, and we must be looking. So I'm certainly sure Jim is looking over his shoulder, especially when he's got the video link installed in his office by Mr.
So,
Evans.
Yeah.
So he's obviously going to be very keen on watching what he's up to on his transfer deals, I reckon.
Anything else on there?
Yeah, loads. Darren, this is on the this is about John Stead. Darren from Stowmarket. How come the Scum have no money yet they can sign a half-decent player like Sibierski? Well, we end up with some guy who wasn't even good enough for the Scum of the North.
Well, actually, my friend is a Sheffield United supporter. Actually, quite likes John Stead, so
yeah.
he thought he did reasonably well for him. I think he kind of suffered from the fact that James Beattie was signed by Brian Robson. It's one of those things, isn't it? Players end up get signed by one manager, that manager goes, someone else brings someone else in, and they get stuck. I don't know. I'm prepared. John Stead was clearly not their first choice.
So another one
because they went for for Harris Stas and all those sort of players, but. You know, it's come down to it that it's dead, and, you know, we've got to give him a chance, really.
Yeah,
we?
Absolutely. Another one's on similar lines from Russell Osman. I presume it's not the Russell Osman.
Could be.
I get the impression that John Stead is a panic buy and not someone we should be looking at if we were to make a serious challenge. Do you think McGilton's lost the plot?
Don't know. I think whether he's lost the plot remains.
We'll
find out in due course, won't we?
Slightly lifting the depression from Pabs and Lee. Will Volts wear the shirt 240 or 110?
Well, I don't know. 220 is continental.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. the Euro one he could wear. Yeah, carry on then, guys.
Do you think it's a Volts economy getting him on loan rather than
playing
him permanently? Sorry. Should we stop and talk about Ipswich Wanderers for a minute before we kind of come
out? Yeah, we better. Poor old Nick will be redundant. Nick will be going away with a salary for nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Nick is the ICR... Ipswich Wanderers correspondent, because I believe
I seem to be, don't I? Now we want to involve more people in this, but we've got a deal with Wanderers where we'll cover some of their matches, and we think they're a good club. It's a good family run club. It's lots of nice, friendly volunteer staff there. They've got some good young players, and the standard of football, Regions League Division 1, they came down last year, but it's really not that bad. I'll start off by saying that Town don't have a game on Saturday. It's an excellent chance to come on down to Humberdoosey Lane and watch the boys take on this Town.
And you can have a drink in your hand while you're doing it, don't you?
Yeah, you can. They've got a bar there just by the pitch. They've got a hot food stall. They've got a club shop. They're quite well sorted. It's quite a nice little ground, really.
And cheaper than Portman Road.
It is, right? Yes. It's £5 for adults, £3 concessions. You can't really be upset at that, can you?
That's just the price of the pies at Portman Road, isn't it?
That's cheap.
They even have a hardcore end of the Ultras.
Yeah, the Kesco Ultras.
Oh, really?
And they make a tremendous racket behind the goal, which is great. It occasionally puts off opposing goalkeepers, and you know, like I say, I've enjoyed it because I've been used to watching clubs like Town. It's nice to sort of step down, step away a little bit, go to a what's perceived as a lower level of football, but people seem to have more fun there. You know, you get the impression a lot of the people go week on week on week. That's part of their routine. That's what they do. They all know each other. They love it down there. The players sort of come and go regularly at this level. It's hard to keep hold of a good player, because even in regional league football, there's a hierarchy. Some clubs are much better financed than others. If you can get a rich benefactor interested in your club, it's sort of like a Origins Roman Abramovich, so to speak, then you're made and you'll probably get promoted and then probably win the thing, maybe. I don't know. But Wanderers, they've got a very they've got a dynamic coaching team in Ian Brown and Steve Buckle. Ian has had you spoke to Ian on the
Ian's a local boy.
Yes, he's an Ipswich lad. He played for Bristol City, Luton Town,
Colchester United,
Northampton, to name but four. So he's been around the league clubs and he knows his stuff, and he's a very very passionate advocate of for coaching young players properly. Just to see him last night, just to give you a brief resume of last night. Last night was a FA Cup first preliminary round. There was an extra preliminary round where Wanderers put out Stowmarket. They faced Cornard in a replay. The game on Saturday was 1-1 due to a very, very dubious penalty for Cornard. There's even a pen sketch of the players jumping all over and kissing the referee with in the Cornard programme here with the inscription Cornard players thank the referee for their penalty on Saturday at Ipswich. So even they can't work out what it was for, but they got the pen, they converted it. So we were back last night to Backhouse Lane, which is the Cornard ground. Not the easiest of grounds to find, I must add, considering there are about four or five other flooded soccer rugby pitches around it that all seem to be being used, but we found it, we got there. Yeah, Wanderers went out of the FA Cup 3-0, which was a shame. James Carter got the first two for Cornard due to defensive lapses, really, and Craig Springer added another one right near the end. It was. I talked to Ian after the game, and he was very, very disappointed in the players, which it was a shame because Wanderers have brought quite a few fans with them.
What people always say to me about going to sort of non-league football is that it's a bit like going to football, how football used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. I'd agree. Almost like football in the 70s without the hooliganism, if that makes any sense. You know, they've got... there's no queuing for ages to get a pie or chips at half time. You know, you can go up to the bar, you can get some food. There's mostly friendly people around, supporters mix. There's no problem there whatsoever. And everyone's sort of interested in your opinion. Everyone's got a story to tell. And there's all sorts of, you know, like in Town, you have to sort of go into the inner sanctum to see the mementos on the wall. I mean, like Cornard last night, they've had a lot of good quality players pass through their ranks at times, and they've come back with professional teams for charity games, so they've donated shirts and stuff like that. And that's impressive to see, you know. The Cornard's a well run club, and they're probably very much of the typical standard you get that level of football in Richards League.
So who are Wanderers playing this weekend?
Wanderers have got this town. It's a 3 p.m.
Suffolk Norfolk derby.
It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. I would implore people to come on down, give the boys your support.
Humberdoosey Lane.
Yeah, they've got a point to prove after Humberdoosey Lane. Yep, just before we get to Playford Road on the left, if you're coming towards Playford Road, they have a bit of a point to prove after last night's performance. So I think if you spoke to some of them, they would say they weren't at their best. They let themselves down. And Saturday, yes, they certainly have a point to play.
Good. Right, let's move on to some more depressing chat about Ipswich Town then.
Now you got the good stuff out of it.
Now we've got sort of slightly cheerful sort of stuff.
Well, Ray's cheered up at the thought of going down there for pies and beer on a Saturday.
Oh, playing cricket, young man.
Are you? Cricket, are you? Well, you can always go along and watch Ray. Yes.
Any more on the old WhatsApp?
From our man Kenno. Hi all, do you think Tommy Smith is unlucky not to have played again? I thought he did very well against Preston, and it's a shame he hasn't featured more.
Yeah, but it's difficult putting youngsters into a side that is doing badly, I always think, don't you, Ray? I always think it's better to try and introduce players. I mean,
yes,
I only played that first game, but...
I was surprised he got a game, actually, to be honest with you. But
that's more to do with kind of...
I hope we don't lose sight of David Wright, who I thought was our most consistent player last year.
Mm.
And also I think Alex Bruce, when he's back from his suspension, we definitely missed him with his... He may have been around for that knockback on Saturday off the goalkeeper. He could have been quick enough to get in there and get the ball away. So, we've got a lot to choose from, there's no doubt about it.
And yet one of these loanees is being talked about. Could be another central defender.
Yeah, so what message does that give out to, say, Pim, or Tommy Smith, or Alex Bruce, or McCauley? What message does that give?
Well, I think Smith and Balkerstein are very much seen as players for the future, where Bruce is clearly not Jim's flavour of the month, and I don't think that kind of all is well there, judging by the way that...
But he's still here, John Walters is still here, Owen Garvin's still here.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
still here, they're all room to be going.
Well, I don't think there's any serious chance of Garvin going once he'd signed his contract, but...
Well, you never know.
Walters, well, but, you know, clearly they didn't get the offer that was acceptable if they got an offer at all, so... there you go. Anyway, we're running out of time, so we better kind of thrash through anything else that is... Any other business, Graham?
There's one more. I'll try to find it again there. Oh, yeah, from Martin Bewley of Ipswich. I made the effort to travel to Watford even though the game was on Sky. I wish I hadn't bothered as it was just like watching last year's team. Do you think it's the fault of the manager? I'm sure our away record was better under BFJ. That's Big Fat Joe. Does Phil or anyone know if that is correct? I presume you
mean... I would say it's almost certainly correct because Jim's away record is extremely poor in... Every season he's been here, I think. I can't remember how many we won in the first season, but it was only about three or four, wasn't it?
No, more than that.
And then last season it was three, wasn't it? And then this season it's one. I mean, I think Jim's record away from home has been the reason we haven't progressed any further. And, you know, he's looked at it this season as tried to add experience because that was part of the reason it was seen as why we didn't perform so well away. And as yet, although we obviously won at Burnley... it's like anything at the moment, it's time will tell, isn't it? Whether the time will tell whether the team gels, whether what the patience is with Marcus Evans, and you know, it's too early to kind of tell at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't ask you to make a prediction for the next game because there isn't one. Not for
can
a
I
week.
Can I just say before we go, we mustn't have the program without saying thank you and to Alan Lee. We lost Alan Lee last week, and I must mention Alan Lee. I was sad to see the guy go. Well, I've met him a couple of times. He's a top gentleman. Always gave 110% for the club. Ran his socks off. So just thanks to Alan, and let's acknowledge the service he's given to the club.
Yeah, I'll second that. Do you want to sing his song to finish the show, Ray?
Not really.
No.
I don't want
to. No, do you want me to?
No. I think, I was writing a bit for the start of the day for next Monday and saying, you know, where would we have been in the Jim's first season but for 17 goals from Alan Lee? And it is quite sort of concerning that without his goals, we could actually have been in League One, couldn't we? Well, by the way, that the season.
Well, the people have been up there. Well, the Nottingham Forest, Manchester City.
So we have a lot to thank him for.
Yes, we do.
And so Saturday, there's no England are playing someone, aren't
Andorra.
They? Yeah, 18-0. Ooh. That's my to Andorra.
Is that rugby or football?
No,
I don't know. Phyllis, England.
Well, it's true. I was going 18-0 to Andorra. You misheard me. But yeah, England, well, obviously that's just kind of walk in the park, and there's no point in even kind of...
Well, where are they playing that game?
Barcelona, I think.
The Montjuic Stadium, if I say it right. The Montjuic.
Oh, the Montjuic one, that's where Espanyol play.
Yes,
up on the top of the hill.
Well, apparently I read today only half England fans are going, they went last year. And there's 1,200 tickets returned for Croatia for next week, so England fans are getting a bit fed up as well, by the sound of it.
Perhaps it's a credit crunch.
Well, there could be an element of that as well.
Right. And on that disastrous note, then, we might as well finish. So thanks, everyone. Thanks to Nick.
Hey, no problem.
And get everyone down to Ipswich Wanderers.
Humberdoosh Lane, 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Thanks, of course, to Ray, and of course to Phil. And from me, till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.